So today, in our service to Christ, whether it's me as a pastor, you as the congregation, those in helps ministry, those in lay ministry, it all boils down to this, that we have got a message to share. And we have different platforms to share it in. But we all have a platform. You've got a platform Monday through Friday at your job, through your family, through your friends, through your acquaintances, you name it. But it's how do we share these things? And as I was coming out of last week of 2 Corinthians, I kept going into 2 Corinthians 4:5 now. And in 4:5, it starts out this way. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now, when we're looking at 2 Corinthians 4:5, we can start, and I can read a little bit like 4:1, 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Shine your light, Lord, into this place. Shine your light in me, Lord, so that I can take it and share it with others around me. And then we get into this. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have got such a message to share. Amen. It's a message of hope. It's a message of helps. It's a message of direction. It's a message of love. And a lot of that, it's wrapped in, and we'll get to an area here too, about love again. As John shared on it a few weeks back, and it's around here, it's hard to go through some of the scriptures of God's word without finding love dropped into the sentence. Love, love. That's because love is so important, and it's what's so missing of our days of today and even back then, is that true love. That love that only can come from God. But God has given us love, and we want to give that love to others, so it's a challenge. I'm not going to say it's easy to walk in that love all the time. I think last week, remember I shared where it's like, you know, we're to be patient and be without anger and all that when we're dealing with people. Now, I've never been angry with any of you guys in here, okay? It's just them out there, yeah. So now we go on, and we're not to preach this of ourselves. In the New Living, it says, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. It's not about us. Guess what? It's not about us. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, when we look at this, the focus of Paul's preaching was Christ and not himself. When we witness and tell what Christ has done in our lives, it's not about my ability. It's not about your ability. It's not what I've accomplished or what you've accomplished. It's what? What Christ is in my life and what Christ has accomplished in my life. Because if it weren't for Christ, I wouldn't have accomplished those things. I could just straight out tell you that right now. We are to introduce people to Christ and for them to get to know him, not to tell them about ourselves. And so that's sometimes a hard thing to stay away from. Because it's easily to get into us. Well, this is what I did or didn't. It's like, well, let me tell you what's changed in my life since Christ came into my life. And it's all that of Christ. Yeah, I was on this path of this and path of that and all of this, but Christ came into my life. And I am who I am today because of what? Christ. I don't know if I have any grand messages and things of that nature, but if somebody comes up and says, oh, Pastor, that was so perfect. That was a great message you preached. It's like, it ain't me, it's him. You know? I appreciate your very kind and your graciousness of, but it's like I always wanted to defer that the greatness is from him. I am just up here trying to be sensitive to him by reading scripture, by meditating with him, by just sensing the Spirit of God and just taking time with him to say, Lord, what does this mean? How can this be presented to the masses? How? Maybe he'll say, it's not for the masses, Tim. It's just for you right now. I'm fine with that, and I'll just stay with that. Okay, it's just for me. But we come up here, and we want to share God's Word, as I'm sure you want to share God's Word. Now, when we look at this, and it says, for we do not preach. I want to look at that real quick, just the definition and what it's meaning in that context there. Preach, to herald, to tell abroad, to publish, to propagate, to publicly proclaim, to exhort, to call out with a clear voice, to communicate, preach. The herald is given a public announcement of an official message and is to issue whatever demands the message entails. The Christian herald is to proclaim the message of salvation through Jesus Christ and issue a summons to repent and receive forgiveness of sins. That's for we do not preach of ourselves, but what we preach of what? Of salvation, of Christ and Jesus and who he is. The other area that I want to look at there in just the wording here is that of ourselves or our bond service. We hear a lot of things of servants and bond servants, and this would be this. Doulos from deo is to bind, so doulos is servant. The word denotes one in bondage or to in bondage to or subject to another, and is usually translated a slave or a servant. Often the service involved is voluntary, in which a person willingly offers obedience, devotion, and loyalty to another. That's what our loyalty and devotion is to another, is that of what? Christ. We're a bondservant of his. We willingly want to become a servant of him, for him. For we do not preach of ourselves, proclaiming these things, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants. And Paul was serving others around him. He went about different communities talking and sharing the message of Christ. Places that he couldn't go to, what did he do? He'd write a letter, and he'd send it by a letter, by a messenger, to take this and read it to the churches, read it to that, read it here. He wanted to keep the message going. There's many times that he would go in and set the church up or speak to the church and get it kind of synchronized with that of Christ. And then things would happen and he'd have to come back and kind of re-get them back on track. Or if he couldn't make it back, he would send another letter to say, I've spoken this to you before and this is what you're doing or not doing. Paul ministered faithfully to the church at Corinth, even though the people many times disappointed him. Anybody here been disappointed to the people that you minister to? Here again, we get into that thought process of, you know, we've talked and shared the love of Christ, and 3 weeks later, that person's back kind of like where they were at when we started. And what are we going to do? We have to keep just proclaiming and just kind of showing love and being there is by that only God's strength in us. So when we witness and tell what Christ has done in your life, not about your abilities and accomplishments, we are to introduce people to Christ. And now here we're finding here as Paul is ministering to the church at Corinth and he's disappointed in them, just as Paul, it should be the same for us. Serving people requires a sacrifice on our end. The sacrifice could be the time that we spend sharing as well as our own personal desires. When we use the following verbiage that we are Christ followers, it means to serve others just like who? Christ. And how he served others. The 1 Corinthians 9:19, if I look back there, 1 Corinthians 9:19, it says this, for I am free from all men. I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. We find here Paul speaking to the freedoms that he had in doing anything, but he emphasized strict discipline in what he was doing. We find in our Christian life and walk, we have both the freedom and discipline to follow. Paul's life was to glorify God and to introduce people to who? Christ. That's our job today. To help in keeping this focus, Paul stayed clear of any philosophical positions or any material entanglement that could have come his way that could have sidetracked him. Paul kept the discipline to carry out his mission on serving God at all times. We have to kind of pay attention to those things. And like it said here, he stayed away from any philosophical positions because there's people that want to argue with you about philosophies of the things of God or how could this be, or let's look at this as an educated type guess of how this is working, and education-wise, I don't understand it and it doesn't make sense to me. And I would probably agree with that person. You know what? It doesn't make sense to me either, you know. But it's by faith that I believe what I'm reading. Sometimes we have to go on that faith because that's all you've got is what? Faith. I don't have the fullness of it yet. But I know by faith his word says that these things are here. These things are there. These things are prepared for me. These things are there for all of us. And that thing that's there for all of us is eternity. You know, this thing that we call life here, we get so wrapped up into it that we don't want to leave it. And I don't want to leave it. But I know when the time comes, I will leave it to go to a much better place. A place there of heaven, to where there's total difference. You know, talk about from, you know, I was going to say from day to night, you know. Yeah, it's all light there. There is no day or there is no dark. But it's a total difference of living. And we get into this life and we know this life is very temporal. And we're knowing that. And a day will come when we leave it. And it is sorrowful, it is sad when we lose loved ones and ones that we built a relationship with. But we always have to keep a focus that this is just a temporary stopping off point. We weren't designed to stay here forever, you know. There's a warranty on us, you know. And some people have got blessed God by God's grace and mercy. They've probably got an extended warranty a few times, you know. By his grace, I know. It's like, oh Lord, one more, you know. That we found that, you can find that in the Old Testament where they prayed for, give me another few years, Lord, don't take me yet, you know. Well, the Lord will say, okay, I've got more for you to do, so I'm going to keep you there and you're going to keep serving if you serve it in that right vein. Paul's life was to glorify God and to introduce people to Christ. In Matthew 5:16, and it just ties into the message, and we're sharing the gospel and what Jesus was telling us in Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works. And why is that? What does your good works do, or should do? It finishes it there to what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify. It's all about glorifying our Heavenly Father. Not glorifying us, not glorifying the church, not glorifying for what we can do in great outreaches and all of these things that us as humans can do. It's things that we can do because of God working through us. But it's just like what Jesus was saying about believers are the salt and the light, where it says it's to glorify your Father. Jesus said that very same thing. I do not do anything or say anything unless I hear or see my Father, and it's to bring honor or to glorify my Father in heaven. And we've got to keep that thought, to glorify God by that light that he has and that light shining before men. Thank you, Lord. In the Passion translation of this, 1 Corinthians 9:19, it says, now even though I am free from obligation to others, I joyfully make myself a servant to all, in order to win as many converts as possible. Our mission is to win as many as we can and just to go out and spread the gospel. Just go out and share the good news. Share what Christ means for you. You might not really get into much sharing of the scripture at that initial 5 or 6 visits with that person or whatever the case might be. It might just be you sharing what I am about and why I'm as I am. It's because not who I am, but who is in me. Well, who's in you, Tim? Well, I'm glad you ask. It's by that of the Holy Spirit in me, because Christ died and I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that was just the beginning, because receiving Christ as my Lord and Savior gets me into heaven when it comes time for me to be called home, because we know that of Jesus saying the way and the truth and the life is through him. No one enters except through Jesus. But we can tell that to say it's because I've got my faith in Christ, I received him as my Lord and Savior, and we begin to just share in a way of love. Keep it simple. They might want to get philosophical with you. They might think, well, could you explain exactly how that happened and how that and who and how and all of this? And you're probably going to be, if you're like me, I will look at them like a deer in the headlights and go, I haven't a clue. But I know because of the faith that I have in my heart, in my being. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, when you look around this world and see everything and how it came about, and, you know, the what was that song, you know, I should have picked out another song there, too, about the space and the heavens declare his glory. When you just look around and just forget about the ugliness of this place, but look around at the design of this place and how things work, it took somebody that has some understanding of how they could create things, that could create things and continue to build on things that would astound science. There's still things in our ages of insects and things and birds or whatever that they still don't quite understand how the thing works. Remember, wasn't there something out there that said the way the design of the bee and the weight and the size of the wings and things of that nature, that a bee should not fly? I don't understand that, but scientists look at these things like, well, we're examining this, and that's astounding. We don't know how that works. Of my goodness, a little bird, you know, of a hummingbird, and how that thing functions, and those wings are going so fast. How birds, how nature, how everything that God's created. It took someone of a creative mind. How many of us have kids that you go, boy, you have got a creative mind? You know? Because some of the things they come up with, it's like, how did you think of that? How in the world, you know? Well, multiply that gazillion times. God has created all this stuff around us, the flowers, the plants, the trees, the animals, the heavens. There are so many things that science can't explain. But they said, well, we're working on it, you know. We'll figure it out. By the time they figure it out, they change it again, you know, because it's hard to fathom. But when you begin to look at all this, and I think it's easier for me to believe in a God of creation than just stuff is flying out there in space and it just happens to hit something and it blows up and then we have all this beautiful stuff. It might be hard to talk to people if they really got to try to figure those things out. But I just look around and I say, Lord, I just see your graciousness and your love in everything around me. Yeah, there's sorrows and pains and ugliness, but I see beauty. I see a design that only God could do and not man. But anyway, let's look at this. For I am free from obligations to others. And what he was saying is, and that's the thing about it is don't be obligated. You know, even as a pastor, it's like, I don't feel an obligation that I've got to make sure you guys like me to share the word of God. All I'm going to do is I'm going to share what God puts into me, and if I believe it and trust it to be that of God, I will answer to him when that time comes. But if nothing comes in and resources dry up, well, okay, we'll just let the church close down and we'll do something else or whatever, but I'll still proclaim the things of God. And we see God's hand in so many things. But that's the thing about what we got to be careful of is that we don't get into a thing to where many organizations and pastors, they're so driven by, we got to keep people happy because if they start leaving, all of a sudden they're going to stop giving. If they stop giving, I won't have a salary. I won't have this. I won't have that. But God is our source. But the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to compromise God's word just to fill seats, to make people believe or think that they're in the right graces with God. when God says, Tim, that's not what it's about. And I think people will hear these things, and that's what Paul's saying. I'm not beholden to anybody to make you happy. I'm here to preach what Christ is and Him crucified. Some people don't like to hear that. I joyfully make myself a servant to you in order to win as many converts as we can. The footnote to this is this. That is, Paul lived free from the obligation of pleasing those who paid him a salary. He lived by faith, yet he still became the servant of all. If I go to, here, well, I'm kind of scared to go here now. I'm going to say, let's turn to this that I found. But I'm going to say Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13, heading of 5, talks about the Christian liberty and those things, and not to be entangled again with a bondage of yoke of bondage in verse 1 of chapter 5, but it goes on in different things. But I came to 5:13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through what? What are we to use to serve one another? Love. That's when I came across that word again, love. It's like, oh, I wonder if I'll get like a marker and just mark out all those words of love. It'd be so much easier. I don't want to love, Lord. We all deal with those things, but I'm working on it very graciously because God is love and grace and mercy. But love. You got to love. For you have been called to liberty, but don't use that as an opportunity for the flesh. Boy, isn't it easy how the flesh wants to get into stuff like that, you know? My goodness. Christian freedom is not the removal of moral restraints, but the freedom to serve one another. The gospel exchanges the oppressive bondage of legalism for the higher bondage of love. Bondage of love. He wants us to serve one another. In whatever avenue or vein that He has for you to serve Him, God, here to others, in whatever measure it might be. It doesn't need to be a grandiose thing of whatever. It's just serving Him day in and day out as we walk this sod of allowing Christ in you to be the light shining and for love to be around you that people can receive that and understand that. They may not understand it because if they're out of the world side, the world's love is one that will take you, eat you up, abuse you, and then throw you out. That's the world's love. But Christ's love, heaven's love, is like, that's the love that comes in after the world chews you up. And Christ's love comes in and takes you and wraps you in the arms of God that says, I love you and I'm here for you. I'm here to comfort you. I'm here to help you through this. That's God's love. People need to recognize that. For you, brethren, have been called again, looking at Galatians there, been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Glorify God by serving others with love. You know, as you serve people and you get to know people, and it is true that, you know, there's like, man, even within our pastor's group of pastors in town, you know, we talk to one another and we're getting ready to leave and we're in our, hey, man, we love you. Love you, guy. Love you, brother. Love, you know, and it's not just a cavalier thing like, oh, just love you. But there's a love. And it's a thing of just how love brings these things together. We come under a commonality of love of Christ. And so we use that to serve others through love. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're just a congregant member of a church, we walk in love. That's what people need to see out there. And as I get back to what, you know, we were talking of 2 Corinthians, we're not preaching ourselves, but Christ the Lord ourselves, bondservants to Him for Christ's sake. We're serving Him. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 23, verse 23 area. Now, this is after Paul had been there. They didn't adhere or abide by the things, and he needed to come back to them, but he really didn't want to come back to them because He was going to get mad at him. He really is like, But look at this. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion or rule over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. And we look at this. Now, New Living says this. Now, I call upon God as my witness that I am telling the truth. The reason I didn't return to Corinth was to spare you from a severe rebuke. Now, there are times that rebuke could be coming your way, but it can be done that of love. You know, there's times that, I believe there's times that God will correct us. And I've asked God to correct us, like I asked the pastor that I mentored under here. And I told him, I said, I'm mentoring under you, Pastor, and if I do something that's not right or that I shouldn't have done, I give you permission to what? Speak into my life. That's kind of like a correction, a rebuke. It's the type of a thing that, why is that? Because I want to be doing what I'm to be doing the right way. And I think as I serve God that same way, Lord, when I went off of the rails of working my secular job and just quit, said, I'm done, I'm serving God, and we had an interesting time there for a while, trying to get that whole figured out. About 3 weeks into that, I finally, or 2 weeks, or whatever the case is, I got a little time again with God. And I said, I think I know what I'm doing. I think I heard from you, God. And all of a sudden, I began to think, second thoughts, as the world kind of, second thoughts coming in on you a little bit. It's like, oh my God, what did I just do? It's two and a half, 3 weeks in. I haven't really got a clarity of God exact. I did what he asked me to do in preparation and this and that. And you begin to start hyperventilating, I'm like, oh boy. And I said, okay, Lord. I said, correct me. Correct me, Lord. If I did this in error, if I did just this as my own human flesh, that flesh got in there. And I said, hey, this sounds like something fun that we would like to try to do, It's like, Lord, if this was out of your step, it wasn't in line with what you wanted, and I heard you, but I heard you and I took it wrong, and I didn't do exactly what you've asked, Lord, correct me. That could be that loving rebuke of God to say he could have come and, slapped my wrist, said, Tim, I did tell you to do that, I want you to do that, or I want you to serve me, but now was not the time, or this is not the way it was to be, or you didn't hear right. Whatever the case is, I would have heard from God. I laid myself out upon him and said, Lord, correct me. How many here lay yourselves out for the Lord? And you've got to be willing to understand, like if you open up that thing and say, Lord, correct me, you better be ready. Because it's the same thing like when you say, Lord, I need to have more patience. Help me understand patience. All of a sudden, you're going to grow in patience because he's going to put you through things that you wanted over now. And he's saying, no, Tim, you said you wanted to know more about patience and grow in patience. Here's your time of learning. Be careful. And I think most of us here realize this. But do be careful that when you do talk to God, he does hear you. And he will respond to you in replying back to what you've asked. Now for me, when I've asked things throughout my life, and it maybe came back a few weeks later, a few months later, whatever the case might be, it could even be a few years in some instances, that when something came back and I didn't quite understand it, I might go to God and say, what? What is going on now, God? And you know what he does by that of the Holy Spirit. He opens up my spirit to remember, Tim, did you not ask about this? Did you not have a thought about that? Didn't you inquire about this about me and you wanted me to show you or do this or whatever? And I'm so happy that I can remember because generally I'll always go, oh yeah, I sure did, God. And then his response is, I'm answering your request or I'm answering your question. Now, sit, watch, do whatever, but pay attention. I have found things that I've asked God that he has responded down the line with. And I have also found things that I've asked God and prayed to God about that he didn't fulfill. And when he didn't fulfill them, it was only sometime after that that I realized, thank you, God, for not fulfilling that prayer that I had. Because I prayed, but I didn't know the full outcome of a lot of things. I only prayed with what I saw right there in that time frame. When my dad had his heart attack, it was very mild back in those days. It wasn't very severe. He went in and came out within a few days, but it was a heart attack. But back in those days, that was back in the 1974s, so, you know, it wasn't like it was now. But what did I do? I prayed, Lord, keep my dad alive until he sees his first true blood grandson. You know, you always want your dad, you know, to have a grandson or, you know, I have a grandson, my dad. So I said that. I prayed that. I meant that literally. Lord, keep my dad alive. Now, that was pretty, because I wasn't married in 72, 73, okay? I was still in high school. But it's something I'd prayed. Got married. Had a daughter. Okay, I guess I haven't got a grandson. Another child comes along, Melissa. Heather's first, then Melissa. Oh, another girl. A few years later go by, have another baby. Boy! TJ. What do you think I thought of instantly when I heard that I had a son? That was a prayer that I prayed back in 72, 73. TJ was born, go to the source, 85. She ought to know. She, I'm sure she, 80, what, 5? 85. So like 12 years later, 12 years or so, I have a son. Hey, all right, TJ, Timothy, all right, hey, Dad, look at this. Oh, my God, Dad, you're going to die. I just need to tell you that. You're going to die, Dad, because I prayed. Lord, keep you alive until I have a grandson that you can see you're a full-blooded grandson. Sorry, Dad. No. Oh, Father, God is so gracious. TJ came along, Dad stayed alive. Fourth child comes along, Micah, 89. And my last son, Micah, was born on my dad's birthday, March 8th of 1989. My dad was born March 8th of 1918. So bless God, here I got a second son, Micah. He's actually, and he was by C-section, and we didn't pick the date. We just let the doctor. We thought, oh, it's getting around March time. Okay. The doctor says, oh, okay, Dean, I think, blah, 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 how they figure out things, blah, 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 blah. We'll do it March 8th. Wow, okay. Here he is. Micah's born on my dad's birthday. Now my second son's come. Now I'm really sweating bullets. Dad, you had a reprieve, okay, but I think we're pushing the button here a little bit. I don't know. Oh, Father. But I'm getting to this point of, when we talk to God and ask God and how he responds, he hears us. And he will respond the way that he needs to respond. I don't need to understand it. I just need to know that when I prayed to God, he heard me. Even in some of the crazy things I prayed, you know. He said, I don't think you want to do that, Tim, but I'll show you. So Micah comes at 89, and my dad lived into 96. So, yeah, 89, 99. So he lived into 1990, he got to be 78 years of age. So from 52 to, but anyway, all that time when my first son came, and it's like, oh, Tim. But then I thought, oh, God, you're so loving. You're so merciful. You're so gracious, you know. It's for me, it's those times that I've had with God of talking to him. We call it praying, you know. But I call it, in my conversations with God about my family, about me and us, this church, you, when I pray to God for situations in your families that I'm aware of, I just throw it out to God. Say, God, 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 I know you're there. I know you're here. But when these things happen, that's why we should be able to share these things as lights and examples of Christ in us upon this earth, because people are going through a lot of the same things that each and every one of us has gone through, going through, has been through, whatever the case might be. And God is looking for those that he has had something within that life to say, now what I've done for you, you know, help somebody else and show them that love and show them something that they can grasp a hold of. And that's that of Jesus Christ for their Savior, and to know that I am God and that I love them. Love them. I love them. But people are hurting. People are angry. People are upset because of tragedies. God says, I still love them even when they don't like me. Even when they're mad at me. I've had people say, I'm mad at God. I've always said, go ahead. I think, be mad at God. I said, I think he's pretty big. He can understand that, you know. If you need to kick God on the shins, kick him on the shins. God will understand. He knows. He can handle that. Sometimes people think that it's a sin to be mad at God, but I think God, you know, we get upset, and but then we get an understanding, and we begin to continue to sense his love, even when we sometimes turn away from him. I like this in the New Living where it says, but that does not mean we want to dominate you. When I share the love of Christ with somebody and try to give them the salvation message and all, I don't want to dominate them. I don't want to force them. I don't want to make them into doing what I want them to do. I want to just share it freely with them and encourage them like Paul did. And maybe as you're growing and they're developing, you may come along and say, that is not something probably that would bring praise and worship to Christ with what you're doing now, or what is going on? You know, why are you slipping back into your past, whatever the case might be? But to be at the point that I'm not going to dominate you. I'm not going to put you in, you know, a stockade and force you to be a Christian. Because we all know once we said the prayer, crazy things are going to happen even more in your life, that things will get stirred up even more, and you'll say, I thought I was a Christian. I thought Jesus loved me. But we find that as we receive Christ, we're to serve him here where he has us placed. Because he needs voices. He needs your voice. He needs your witness to show those around you of love. The Passion is the last time, the last reading here that I want to read here. On the Passion of this particular verse in 2 Corinthians 1, 23 to 24. Now I call upon this faithful God as a witness against me if I'm not telling you the absolute truth. It was because I hold you in my heart that I decided not to return to Corinth, in order to spare you the humiliation of my rebuke. But I don't want to imply that as leaders we coerce you or somehow want to rule over your faith, or it could be our dictate what you must believe. I don't want to dictate and say, you must believe this. You've got to believe it willingly and freely in your heart. Or dictate what you must believe. Instead, we are your partners who are called to increase your joy. Woo! And we know that you already stand firm because of your strong faith. The Aramaic in this area of strong faith could be translated, for it is through faith that you stand. That's through faith is what we all stand upon. It's through that faith that helps us stand. To increase your joy, the Aramaic here can be translated, we are helpers of your joy. How many people out there would really like to have some joy? I don't know. We're in the holiday season. Joy to the world. Everything's gay and apparel and things are happy. You know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, these are some of the most depressed times in a society. These are when people are feeling more stuff just pushed down on them. They get more depressed even more when they look around and see other families having a joyful time, and they look around and they go, oh, well, I'm not having a joyful time, and that depression even multiplies even more. So holiday times, it's a very hard time for people to deal with when they've got stuff going on in their families or just in their life in general. But we are helpers of your joy. True ministry in God's kingdom is to be co-workers with those that we serve, laboring to see them overflow with joy. There is no control that leaders are to have over the people that they serve. Rather, they are to inspire lives to be filled with the joy of knowing Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm not here to coerce you to follow what I say, what God says. God says to follow him. I'm just here to share what he says. And I'll still be friends with you even if you don't follow him to a point. I'll still show love. I'll still have coffee with you. I'll still do whatever. And I've done that with people out in the other sides of the world where they get into some discussions and legalities and all of this crazy stuff. I say, well, does it detract from what Jesus did on the cross? No. I said, well, we're done with the conversation. I'll have coffee with you if you want. You know, but I'm not going to sit here and just batter back and forth. Well, what about this verse and what that says? What about that verse? Because what they say, then I say, and they rebuttal another verse. And what does that mean? Blah, blah, blah. You don't get anything accomplished. I'd rather at least try to, let's stay friends as best as we can, agree to disagree, and let's just fellowship as best as we can. And I think if we or us, if you're strong in your faith and you're strong in the things of God, you shouldn't be worried that that person's going to try to pull you into what their beliefs are. You should be strong enough in your faith with that of Christ to say, this is my belief, this is my core value of who I am in Christ, and I'll be glad to listen to whatever you got to say. I may not always agree with it, and I'll say things you don't need to agree with, but love as best as we can. And you never know what that leads into down the road. I think we find, and we won't mention a whole lot of things here, but there's, in our world, there's two entities, it seems, out there in our nation. And there's always one, and there's this one, and there's one side that no matter what happens, they always seem mad and upset. No matter what you say, what you do, what you bring up, if you don't believe the way they do, yar, whatever. And it seems like the other side of that is the others are just trying to get their point across, and a lot of times they'll say, well, I don't agree with you, and that's fine if you want to do that, but I'm this, and there's that side of the thing that, for the most part, kind of goes on with life. I don't understand that other than there's just something in some people, and it's just like that of Christ. You know, when you try to share this and share that, there are some people out there that'll just get really adamant and upset about that. Those are probably the ones you'd probably need to leave. Like, I don't need to be around that, you know. I don't mind being around somebody that doesn't always agree with me, and we got a good friendship, and we can have whatever lunch together. But if it's because if I think this or that and it's different from you and you think that what I think is totally wrong to the point of you're going to argue with me and get mad at me and call me whatever, it's like, I don't need that. But I'm going to do the best I can to walk in love and acceptance and at least try to meet them halfway, you know. And I think it all gets back, but through love, serve one another. As we end with, you know, the thoughts of, for we do not preach of ourselves. It's not about Tim. I don't need to tell you anything about me. I just need to tell you about who is in me. That of Christ, through that of the Holy Spirit. God in me, through the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three in one. But it's the Christ that we serve as a servant, willingly, bond servant. I'm willingly serving him. He never told me. He didn't twist my arm to say, leave your secular job and come and serve me. It was all a heart change. It was all personal within us. So I want you to be encouraged by that, and I want you to think of these things, especially as we get into the holiday time, the light of the world and all of that that's coming into the manger, you know, the star and all of these wonderful things that we put around this time of the year. But we end with that last song that, remember, that said that everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness. The kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. But just to think of that whole thing, that we need compassion, we need a love that's never failing. Amen. And I believe that if you're in a situation and you're saying, Lord, I've been there. I don't know about you guys. I've been there to be walking in love, and it's been a very difficult for me to kind of stay in that sense of love. And that's what I've got to pray to God and say, Lord, I know that you are of love and that, you know, you loved us and you want us to show your love. And you begin to pray that, Lord, would your love come in and strengthen my love for this individual or for this situation, whatever the case might be. Because that's the times that God says, I will be glad to come in and help you. It's like God coming in to pitch hit or to pinch, you know, run for you. I know I need to run. I need to do this, but I just can't do it. I'm just having a hard time. Help me, Lord. And I believe he'll send his help. We just need to be receptive of it. Amen. Heavenly Father, I love you and I thank you. Lord, as we go about our daily walk, I thank you that you're in it with us. I pray, Lord, that even when we're out and about, Lord, that your light will shine in us and through us. I pray, Lord, you will give us the words to say, the words not to say, but that, Lord, as we share the things of you, that we will bring people to a desire to know more of you. And that they would ask questions, Lord. And as they ask questions, you, by that of the Spirit, will give us the responses that you want them to hear. So many times, Lord, people will come to you by how we present you. May we always walk in that area of love. And we thank you, Father. In those times that we are weak in those areas of love, Lord, I pray your love to be upon us. Let your strength of love be there for us. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.